could, we have item number two. Ms. O'Kane.
From Corporation Counsel requesting authorization to amend Chapter 203 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as appropriate to comply with federal legislative and regulatory changes governing tax-qualified retirement plans that impact the OBRA 1990 retirement system of Milwaukee County and to clarify its operation and administration. This item was also referred to the Committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel and the Pension Board. The Committee on Finance and Audit approved this item by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Gentlemen, welcome. And again, Mr. Grady, if you introduce yourself and your team, colleagues.
Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. To my left is Mr. Langer from Buck Consultants, our actuary. And to my right is Mr. Stephen Huff from Reinhardt Werner Van Duren, the Pension Board's outside legal counsel, especially for tax matters. What you have before you, and I'll just introduce the subject and then we can turn it to the two of them for any comments, is a proposal to amend the ordinances with respect to the OBRA pension system. This is the smaller pension system related to seasonal employees. These ordinance amendments are a compilation of changes required by various congressional acts over the last decade to the Internal Revenue Code. They are required ordinance amendments for a number of reasons. First of all, the OBRA pension system has been undergoing an audit with the IRS for the last 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. And as part of the audit, they review not only the operation of the system, but the plan itself, and the plan document being the ordinances. And they have told us as part of the agreement to close the audit, these ordinance amendments are required. In addition, the plan periodically, like all pension plans, has to file with the IRS for what's called a determination letter for the IRS to approve our plan as stated and tell us that we have a tax-qualified retirement plan. As part of that process, which we've also done, Mr. Huff has filed that request. The IRS has again said as part of the approval process for that determination letter, we need to pass these same ordinance amendments. They are required so that the ordinance actually is in compliance or is consistent with the way we've actually been administering the plan, because we have followed these rules even though they're not in the ordinances because we know they exist in the IRS code. There were some questions yesterday from Supervisor DeBrun, for example, about does the IRS really get so specific as to say, I need this dollar amount in your plan and I need this interest rate in your plan? And the simple answer is yes. The IRS code, that's why the IRS code is as fat as it is, because it has that kind of level of detail in it. And so I would tell you as your attorney that you really have not a lot of discretion and really have no discretion on this. I would also tell you that, and Mr. Langer will repeat this, that there's no actuarial effect here, because you'll see things in here like the limit on compensation is $200,000 or whatever the number is. And these benefits and this plan doesn't have anybody even approaching those limits. But the IRS requires that they be stated in the plan, even though they are of no practical effect on us. And so a lot of the technical amendments like that are like that, that they are required, but they have no day-to-day practical effect. And so with that, I'd like to let Mr. Langer comment on his report.
Thank you, Mr. Langer. Welcome again.
It's a January 23rd, 2012 letter. Echoing everything that Mr. Grady said, there is no impact of these changes predominantly because the plan has been functioning in this manner, or it doesn't impact the memberships because the limits are so high. I could go through the letter. The general sense of the letter, though, is it's just a repetition of those types of comments. Either it doesn't impact the members or this is the way the plan has been operating anyways. And you'll see that repeated throughout the letter. That potentially could be the end of my prepared comments.
That's a fine summary. Everybody had a chance to see the document. Any questions at this time from the paperwork?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just briefly have Mr. Huff comment.
I think it's been said, no practical or adverse impact. OBRA has been operated in compliance with these laws for the past decade, and these are required by the IRS for the closing of the audit and for the determination letter.
And closing the audit for about 3 years.
And the last piece I would say is that there is a deadline on these. The IRS has effectively given us until 2 weeks from now to pass these, I think. We got through the next county board meeting, basically.
And did they reciprocate by saying that when we send it in within 2 weeks, that they'll give us our determination
well,
within 2 weeks?
They gave us 90 days, but the 90 days start.
What, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, they gave us 90 days, and that's the standard provision is that you pass these amendments within 90 days, but that 90 days started at about the end of the budget cycle.
It started November 9, so they have given a determination letter. They've mm-hmm. given a favorable determination letter.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Questions, comments by members of the commission? Okay, we have a motion to approve. Any questions on the motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, just yes. a couple comments sort of... just for your information,
please.
I think, is one, as a result of the audit and the plan provisions, but mostly the audit, the pension plan, the OBRA pension plan, is paying out a substantial number of individuals' benefits who should have been paid out over many years. The code has said that when people's benefits are a very small amount, and I'm going to paraphrase, this is not precise, but less than $5,000 in lump sum value, that those monies are to be paid out rather than a monthly annuity. You just pay it out. And so as a result of that, we actually are paying out thousands, I believe literally thousands of members' benefits to them and taking them off the rolls of membership as a result. Some of those people we can't find because it's been 30 years, or not 30 years, it's been 20 years or 15 years, and we've had no luck finding them. We do have requirements for how much, you know, searching we have to do from the IRS, and we've done that. But ultimately, if we can't find someone after doing an appropriate search, those funds then will escheat to the state as unclaimed property. And so the system is going to look different in terms of its demographics after this audit is done, its assets and its membership, than it's looked in the recent past. It's obviously still going to continue forward, but it will look different. So I just wanted to kind of let you know that.
I appreciate it. I think everyone's been aware of that. So thanks for bringing it back to the public forum. We do have a motion before us. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Thomas.
Aye.
Eaton.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
4 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
We stand adjourned. Thank you for your participation today. Thank you.